Welcome in, everybody. It's Locked On Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's up, everyone? Louis DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition of the show alongside one of my good buddies and one of my co-hosts of the Locked On Eagles Network. It's Lars Lewis. What's up, man?
I'm still trying to thaw myself out over the last 2 days getting my car out of the snowbank in the street because they don't plow near my neighborhood.
That's brutal. Well, we're going to have to dig ourselves out of some other stuff, Lars, today, because once again, Carson Wentz, they're after him, buddy. They are after him. It's been the talk of the town. I woke up, go on Twitter, you know, check my daily Eagle stuff, thought about what I'm going to talk about on the podcast today, and instantly I fall upon a story from the Philly Voice written by Joseph Santolaquito, and it's calling Carson Wentz from unanimous sources within the team.
You mean anonymous?
What did I say? Unanimous? Yeah, no, it's
unanimous.
Not. It's not unanimous that this is the belief of Carson Wentz, but there are some.
That's what players. I'm here for, guys.
Yeah, you're just here to correct my grammar. There are apparently half a dozen players and members of the Eagles, also NFL sources, which I'm kind of skeptical of, that this writer talked to about Carson Wentz, calling him selfish, egotistical, uncompromising, he plays favorites, and he needs to practice what he preaches. So, Lars, we're going to get into our opinions of this story in the second and third segment, but I kind of want to just outline what this story talks about, and it's been the talk of Philadelphia today, because once again, Carson Wentz is the subject of conversation, and normally he should be when he's the franchise quarterback and the most important piece of this organization. But again, the theme of 2018 and 2019 has been really shedding Carson Wentz in a negative light, and this story continues that trend. Again, he said he spoke to about half a dozen Eagles sources. He claims that a couple things here. Carson Wentz apparently bullied Mike Groh in offensive meetings. Wentz isn't universally loved in the locker room. The actual writer was calling Wentz names in this story. He said, his aw shucks, overgrown Opie from Mayberry routine plays well with the local and national media. He called him the Teflon Ginger. He claimed Wentz was verbally attacked. He called him the Teflon Ginger.
Oh my God.
He claims that Wentz was verbally attacked by a leader for not being a team guy. That's according to a source he talked to. There were some strong quotes in this by apparently former players or, you know, current players on the team and staff members. And here's one that's interesting that I thought was very aggressive. Quote, Carson Wentz's biggest enemy is Carson Wentz, one source said. He's had his ass kissed his whole life and sometimes acts like he won 10 Super Bowls when he hasn't played in, let alone won a playoff game yet. Everyone around him wants good things for him. He did more thinking on the field than he did playing in 2018. You don't have to be a brain surgeon or a football expert to see how differently this team plays and reacts with one guy as opposed to the other. And the story just continues to go. Someone said that Wentz complicated the offense and he was pressing all year. He played favorites to Zach Ertz and Jordan Matthews, who really they think only was part of the team because he's, quote, good buddies with Carson Wentz. They were frustrated with Wentz when he pulled the ball a lot on RPOs, just throwing to Zach Ertz all the time when their offensive line was so good against for the run this year. I mean, that's why Wendell Smallwood was able to keep consistently getting 5 to 7 yard chunk plays, even though I think he's a not very talented running back. They said he didn't want to do full stuff with the offense. I cannot believe all of the stuff talked about in this article that sheds Carson Wentz in a negative light. They said he did not want to run a lot of concepts that they ran at the end of last year because it was, quote, full stuff. He was hell-bent, apparently, on getting back, risking his health. A source said Wentz needs to realize it's the Philadelphia Eagles and not the Philadelphia Carsons. This is a crazy, crazy story that was posted this morning, and Lars, we're going to get into our opinions about this because, truthfully, I'm very skeptical. And I was very nervous reading this article at first because I initially had not looked into anything, any factors. I didn't see any reactions when this was posted. I merely read the piece and then started doing some research, started thinking about it on my own. And at the time, I was nervous because who knew?
Yeah, because we don't know exactly who says this.
Right. Who knew if this was Jason Peters, if this was Malcolm Jenkins, if this was Alshon Jeffrey. So I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, like, is this something now where Carson Wentz really is a problem for the Philadelphia Eagles? Not just health, but he's not the teammate that we thought he was. He's not the person that we thought he was when we drafted him out of North Dakota. Because
these things have happened in sports.
Yeah, I mean, my initial reaction was shocked, because this is the opposite, really, of what we have thought about with Carson Wentz when it comes to him as a leader, as a teammate, and as a person coming out of North Dakota. We thought this was a dude that was the most selfless player on the team, or at least one of them. It went against everything that we've heard from teammates, from coaches, from the media, from fans, to have a piece like this calling him selfish and egotistical. And, you know, most athletes are egotistical, but uncompromising. He plays favorites. He needs to practice what he preaches. He's not accountable for his own actions.
Yeah, I'm shocked just hearing all of this. And now all of this has come to light, and I was seeing some of the other tweets from the other players, which we'll get into. But yeah, at first, before I saw some of the tweets later on, I had the same thing. Because all season, it's been Wentz or Foles, Wentz or Foles, Wentz or Foles. It was an ongoing thing, especially since the national media has been spinning this the last 6 to 7 weeks, ever since Nick Foles got the job back because of Carson Wentz's medical issues, and that was a mess in its own right. But now we see this coming out after the season's over, after the press conference of Doug Peterson saying Carson Wentz is the quarterback next season, and I'm like, oh my God, this was going to be chaos.
It just seems like there's one crazy story or one big criticism about Wentz after another this season. It was first that he wasn't clutch, and then it was that, you know, he couldn't carry the team. Then it was he was injury prone. Then it was that Foles runs the offense better. You know, Doug Peterson's a better play caller with Nick Foles. And just over and over again, there were these crazy takes about Carson Wentz. And a lot of them, me and Gino, we went after, because I didn't think a lot of them had a lot of weight to it. Look, I think, again, this goes against everything that we've seen from Carson Wentz as a teammate and as a player the past 3 years. My initial thoughts, again, was shocked. I could not believe that this was a story being written about Wentz. Maybe this is something I could see being written about Ben Roethlisberger, and Carson Wentz isn't one I would think of. I thought he was one of the more humble stars in football, and he isn't universally loved, but we hear, I mean, that's the quote, but we hear teammates talk about him in a positive light all the time. I mean, when the Eagles made the playoffs this year, Nelson Aguilar said they made the playoffs for 11, and that's a guy that would have been upset about over-targeting Ertz this year. So me and Lars, we're going to continue our takes on this story, because it's a crazy one about Carson Wentz. Again, this story written by the Philly Voice from Joseph Santolaquito, again, calling Carson Wentz selfish, egotistical, uncompromising, plays favorites, needs to practice what he preaches. And he wasn't the one that says this, although a lot of it to me was spun this way because of maybe his confirmation bias. I'm going to get into that next. But regardless, a crazy controversial story on the franchise quarterback. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis on this Monday edition of the show, getting into this crazy Carson Wentz story from the Philly Voice. So, Lars, again, just some first opinions on this story. I see the weight in some of this. I do. I think there are things about this story written that are true about Carson Wentz. I think that him pressing to get back this year to try to prove everybody wrong, feeling the pressure after Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, in trying to press to make plays this year, maybe holding on to the football too long, it might be why he got injured with his back this year. I do see that. I think that he was complicating things, although Peterson is on that too. I think what Peterson likes to make the offense more complex with Wentz, because Wentz can do more than Foles. I can see him not relying on weapons as much as Ertz this year. But to me, man, a lot of this had to do with his health, which is always ignored this year when we're throwing these Wentz takes out there. I think it had a lot more to do with health than it had to do with his personality and his character.
You know what? You know this whole over-reliance on Ertz? I've got some receipts regarding that certain take.
Okay.
If you noticed, I actually saw this from Elliot Short Parks. The quote, "Wentz targets Ertz way more than Foles does, and it hurts the offense" take might be the most overrated story surrounding the Eagles this year. Do you want to know Ertz's targets per game with Foles and Wentz?
I think they're identical, right?
9.28 targets with Foles, 9.63 with Wentz. There is no difference.
Yep.
This is all perception.
And there's also the one, Lars, where they said Wentz held onto the ball too long this year. That was part of the story. Whereas his release time, his time to throw this year was, I think, the same, if not faster, than Nick Foles. So there's just, there's a lot of narratives that form about Carson Wentz this year that just simply can be proven wrong with statistics. And I'm not a guy that relies solely on stats. I was one of the guys that throughout the year said they're using Zach Ertz too much. And it wasn't a knock on Zach Ertz. It was more so that I didn't think they were getting the types of plays to Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar that they thrived with in 2017. I didn't see that balance. And while Wentz targeted Ertz the same amount as Foles this year, there were sometimes, especially, it was more so, I point to the middle of the season when Carson Wentz was clearly hurt. That is when he picked up his reliance on Zach Ertz more so than Alshon and Aguilar. I mean, again, Foles and Wentz.
And you could see physically, he couldn't run the RPOs. He looked like he was laboring in the pocket.
It was harder
to throw in a little thicker.
It was harder to give Alshon those one-on-one contested balls when he couldn't extend plays and when his back was maybe prohibiting him from throwing up high. But I will say, you know, there is some weight to Wentz going for Ertz a lot this year. Ertz had 9 of 11 games this year with Wentz that included 8-plus targets, while Alshon had 4 and Aguilar only had 2. And I think it did pick up with Nick Foles, but again, a lot of that, to me, had to do with Carson Wentz's health. I think it's really more so because
of
that. And
also the line, you actually look at it, the line wasn't all that good either in the first half of the season.
Exactly. The offensive line played so much better down the stretch. And again, it's the health of Carson Wentz more so than it's him playing favorites to Zach Ertz or Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews didn't have more catches than Nelson Aguilar or Golden Tate or Alshon Jeffrey. I think, again, what it was is that after maybe the Minnesota game, I don't know when Wentz got hurt, maybe the Carolina game, he started relying on Ertz more because he was limited. You saw Alshon's first game back against Tennessee, the following week against Carolina, against Minnesota. Wentz and Alshon were clicking. It was not only Zach Ertz that was dominating the passing game with the Eagles, it was Alshon Jeffrey too. And you saw that go smaller and smaller throughout the year. And again, it had to do with Carson Wentz being hurt. Lars, I just think the piece seems exaggerated to help with a confirmation bias of this guy who is regularly
look at the previous tweets that he's given out.
Yep.
Here's one back in, earlier this year. Quote, Wentz is gradually building the nickname TQC, short for three quarters Carson, because he plays well for three quarters, then tends to get nervous in the clutch. Let's go to another one. This one was on October 26th, 2018. It amazes me the in caps, blind loyalty Wentz engenders from what I thought I would never say. The Eagles Stepford fans. But he is Captain Carson. He walks on water to the millions in Eagle land. He's just never won an NFL playoff game. He's still not Brady, Montana, or Elway. Not yet. Let's go to another one. Another piece that he had on, of course, February 16th, 2018. This was after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz needs to learn a few things from Nick Foles. It's just, and it goes on and on and on. This guy's been putting hit piece after hit piece on Wentz. And look, are some of those quotes from the article published yesterday true? Look, I'll be honest, I don't know. I don't think really anybody knows. The only person that knows is whether it was the author or the players that, or whoever was in the personnel that said that.
Well, and again, I do see some weight to some of these things. I think that Carson Wentz does challenge coaches. I think he knows what he likes. I think he trusts his instincts and his football IQ, and the coaches and him go back and forth on things. Frank Reich talked about it last year. There were reports about how strong Wentz's relationship was with John DeFilippo, who kind of checked Wentz a lot of the time, but I don't think that's a negative thing. I think when you then change the words to bullied Mike Groh this year, whereas last year it was challenged, that is, to me, when I see the over-exaggeration, when I see the confirmation bias, when I see all those tweets that you're talking about, when I see the word choices in the
wordmanship,
story.
Yeah.
Yes, that's when I'm a little skeptical on the actual worries of the story. When it, the actual
any self-respecting reporter never calls the subject names.
And that's where I was getting upset. And it's where it could have been a lot of other reporters that would have wrote about this. It could have been Ruben Frank. It could have been Howard Eskin. It could have been Les. A lot of different respected Eagles writers. But this is a guy that's not really with the Eagles a whole lot. It's a guy that's been heavily critical of Wentz before. And it's a guy that was calling Carson Wentz names. He called him the Teflon Ginger. And it wasn't a quote. It wasn't from a source that called Carson Wentz that. This was an opinionated piece from this guy when it wasn't supposed to be. And as a person studying journalism right now, I saw a lot of red flags in this that make me skeptical of his credibility.
Yeah, and speaking of Howard, he just tweeted this out about a couple hours ago. Quote, "It's hard to understand how a story like this comes out from someone who is rarely around the Eagles locker room. I've tried to think about Eagles players who would portray Carson Wentz in this way, and I can't come up with any player. If Howard says that, I take Howard's word over mostly anybody else."
And this guy also used NFL sources that weren't with the Eagles, and that's where I'm also concerned is, where exactly are all these quotes coming from? Is it just one quote coming from an Eagles player, and the rest you just keep saying is a source that said this, but how many of those actual quotes from these sources maybe came from people outside of the building that are just totally recklessly speculating?
Yeah, you want to know the main sources? That if you actually talk to these two guys right here, and if they had any sort of opinion regarding Carson Wentz negatively, then you could give it some weight.
Right.
So this is from Zach Rosenblatt. Two Carson Wentz things. One, Nate Sudfeld, who's the third string quarterback, expressing support is significant. He's in meetings with Wentz and Foles and Groh every single day.
Right. If Wentz bullied Groh,
loves Carson Wentz. I'm like, what is adding up right now? Because it's nothing.
If Wentz bullied Mike Groh, why would Nate Sudfeld have gave him such high praise, saying Wentz is one of the best leaders that he's been around in the NFL? When Nate Sudfeld, like you said, is in the meeting rooms with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles and Mike Groh every day. I think there was just a lot of stuff that was exaggerated in this piece. Him not wanting to do Foles stuff. I'm sorry, I've heard Carson Wentz talk, I've seen what teammates have said about him. That is not something to me that he would say, or would be, considering a lot of the full stuff, quote-unquote, this year and last year, Doug Peterson was still running with Carson Wentz in the beginning of 2017, the majority of the 2017 season. And saying that he's not accountable, that really isn't true at all either. Carson Wentz repeatedly stood at the podium this year when the Eagles were struggling. I point back specifically to the Saints game. He stood at the podium and he said, "It starts with me." He refused to ever use his health as an excuse for why he wasn't playing at the level he was a year ago, when clearly he was playing with a stress fracture in his back, and it had every reason to do with why Wentz wasn't playing as good, but he never used that as an excuse. How is that him not being accountable? There's just a lot of money.
How is that him being selfish?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff being thrown at the wall here and seeing what sticks, and while he does have sources, I'm skeptical of who those sources are, especially considering the biggest leaders of the team came to Wentz's defense today. Fletcher Cox.
And his other quarterbacks.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox, Zach Ertz, Nate Sudfeld came to his defense. Three of his offensive linemen, which is very important because the offensive line was specifically pointed out in this story that they grew frustrated with Wentz because, again, in a lot of those RPO concepts, Wentz was pulling the ball instead of relying on the run, audibling the passes, and just getting the ball to Zach Ertz. Well, Jason Kelce, Brandon Brooks, and Lane Johnson all came to Carson Wentz's defense today, and so did media members. You read the quote from Howard Eskin, Glenn McRow from WIP, guys that have been in the Philly market for a long time, guys that are very well respected, guys that are
Elliot Short Parks too from WIP.
Yeah, people that have been around the team every year are saying that this story just should not have a lot of weight to it, should not carry a lot of weight. Are there going to be guys in a locker room of 53 that has a problem with somebody else? Sure. But I put more weight into the fact that the main leaders of this team, quarterbacks in the meeting room, respected media members, are saying that they do not believe that this is true about Carson Wentz. A lot of the accusations. Again, there's some weight to the criticisms about him on the field and about him pressing to get back. But to call him selfish, to call him uncompromising, to call him egotistical, go ask Frank Reich and John DeFilippo if he was uncompromising. Wentz has a voice. He has a strong opinion on how the offense should run. Absolutely. He's talented. He has a high football IQ. He should have a voice in the game plan.
Yeah, but guess what? You know who also has that? Some of the best quarterbacks that have ever lived.
Exactly.
Tom Brady's got that say. Peyton Manning's got that say. All the best quarterbacks of football have their own instincts and their own intuition. Because Carson Wentz, just because that he got hurt somehow in the two years that they made the playoffs and Nick Foles had to play, all of a sudden he doesn't have that distinction.
I mean, come on. The Philadelphia Carsons, the guy was nothing but a great teammate as he watched the team win a Super Bowl without him, a team that he put in position to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and then the next year he gets hurt again and watches them get to the second round with another quarterback. And this guy didn't put up a fight. He was more help to Nick Foles maybe than anyone on the sidelines last year during that run with the coaches. I can't get around a lot of the slander in this piece that was very slanted, that was very motivated from the writer. And while he did have quotes, there was name calling in it, and you could just see the spin that I was very skeptical of. So I mean, let's just read some of the quotes from the players. Here's Fletcher Cox. Reading through this Carson Wentz thing, and as a leader on this team, none of that is true. Carson is a great teammate and great player. We are all behind him 100%. He's our guy and will come back and prove the world wrong. If you've got a problem, feel free to at me. I'll respond. Here's Brandon Brooks. What my guy Fletcher Cox said. Post a funny gif. Zach Ertz. This is what Zach Ertz said about it. Don't believe everything you read. Carson has been nothing but a great person, a great teammate, and a great leader since day one. Our locker room stands behind him all the way. We can't wait to get back to work and be the best team we can be in 2019. Then we go to the offensive line again. Brandon Brooks, now Lane Johnson. Whoever wrote that article needs to check their sources. Hashtag fake news. Carson has been and is our leader and our quarterback. Y'all know where to find me if you have any issues. I mean, this just consistently... And they're big names. It's not just random players coming to his defense, right? It's not backup linebackers. It's not Nate Geary or Kamu Grugier-Hill. It's players that are in the huddle with him and that see Carson Wentz every day and that have been with him since he was a rookie. Nate Sudfeld, again, the guy that's in the meeting rooms with Carson Wentz and when he's supposedly, quote-unquote, bullying Mike Groh, this is what Sudfeld said about it. I'm around Carson arguably more than anybody on the team, and I feel obligated to say how false and simply wrong the claims made about him are. Carson is one of the best leaders and teammates I've been around in my years playing football. He's handled the last 2 years with such grace and poise and has never put anything above the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly is so lucky to have that guy leading the franchise. Can't wait to see him back balling on the field. Torrey Smith went after it, saying, "Don't have to read this article, and I bet my newborn child 99% of it is the poop emoji." So, look at all these big names, Lars, that have been with Carson Wentz the past 2 years that are just calling BS on it. I trust those guys more so than these sources that are not revealed.
Yeah. The only reason why you would not reveal sources is if you're trying to put a hit piece on someone.
Well, and of course...
We've seen this with a lot of other athletes that... They get hit pieces from writers trying to make a name for themselves. Okay, let's also – we've talked about Howard. We talked about Elliott. We talked about all these guys. There's also another one, Rob Maddie from 97.5. He said that, "I spent a lot of time with Carson Wentz. I know him to be a genuine, selfless, caring guy. There's no phony in him. Carson is one of the most liked players in the locker room that I've ever covered in 19 years on the beat. No one has ever said a bad word about him to me." If you got a guy that's been in that locker room for 20 years and you haven't heard anything, I would trust that source over some guy that has had a history of going after Carson Wentz throughout his entire career in Philadelphia, who wanted to call names on an article. And I just very simply put, it was not professional whatsoever. And if I'm the Eagles organization, I'm not having this guy anywhere near a locker room for the rest of his career.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that there's some players that maybe feel this way. There's a couple guys that maybe he did actually talk to. But again, he used non-Eagles sources, and he put his opinion in it, and he was calling Carson Wentz names. And he's had a past history of going after Carson Wentz. And I'm not a guy that's – you're not allowed to have – or you should have a – you can have a negative opinion, excuse me, on Carson Wentz. I'm not saying he is not allowed to be subject to criticism. But this
is ridiculous.
Is so overly dramatic, so overly exaggerated. The words that they're using, the things that they accuse Carson Wentz of, look, you could have posted a piece that there are legitimate concerns about Carson Wentz in the locker room. But when you take shots at his character and then have leaders of the team come back and say it's false, that's not a good look for this journalist. It's not a good look for the Philly Voice. And yet, regardless, it's a bad look for Carson Wentz because the national media is going to pick up on this. They're not going to look deeper into it. They're going to discuss, is Carson Wentz a problem in the locker room? Should it have to do with whether they keep Nick Foles or not this year? And all these narratives are going to form regardless if it's true or not because of a lot of unresponsible journalism in this piece. And yeah, you already see it, man. And we're going to get more into it. We got one more segment here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Coming up, me and Lars will continue to give our thoughts on this crazy story. If you missed it, Carson Wentz was the subject of a piece by Joseph Santolaquito of the Philly Voice calling Carson Wentz selfish, egotistical, uncompromising, playing favorites to Zach Ertz. He needs to practice what he preaches and take accountability. And this wasn't him accusing Carson Wentz directly. He used sources. But again, you feel like it's sources and this writer that are going after Carson Wentz, which really, when it's a non-opinionated piece of a newspaper, of a written piece at all in journalism, when there's opinion in it, that's a big red flag. So we're going to keep going with this next on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase alongside my good friend Lars Lewis on this Monday edition of the show. Lars, this is really just fitting in with the theme of the 2018-2019 season. It's really to just go after Carson Wentz. He's the franchise quarterback. It's good. It's a good talking point to make him the subject when, you know, he was so beloved the first 2 years of his stint with the Eagles. And now, you know, fans, I get the love for Nick Foles, but there's a lot of takes on Carson Wentz now that I think are just a little irresponsible. And this one is heavily irresponsible. The anti-Wentz crew, though, they're going to take this. They're going to use it unfairly towards Wentz this year, especially if he's not performing to the level that we think he will. It's just crazy how quickly people have turned on him. I mean, and again, it fits with the theme. He's going to have even more pressure on him in 2019 that he already had. I mean, this is a guy that's got to now take over for Nick Foles, who won a Super Bowl, and then repeats that with taking the Eagles from 6-7 to 9-7, winning a playoff game in the wild card round against the number one ranked defense, and then almost beating the one-seeded New Orleans Saints in the second round in New Orleans. Now he's got to prove that he is not this locker room cancer that he's made out to be in this written piece.
Yeah, I know we've heavily discussed this throughout the past 20 minutes. We've brought receipts, we've brought reporters, we've brought players. We have the evidence is there that this is nothing more than a hit piece with maybe a couple of players that might have a problem with Carson Wentz. But you know what? No one guy in that locker room is going to be loved by everybody in there. That's just not how sports works. There's going to be people that just don't like people for the sake of it.
And again, I'm very skeptical of how many of those quotes came from players. That's my thing, is who, and of course you're not going to reveal sources, but I see this guy throwing opinions in his piece. I see him calling Carson Wentz names. I see what he's talked about in the past, and I'm just very skeptical of his credibility.
Skeptical? I'm more than skeptical. I feel like it's pretty set in stone of what this was trying to accomplish. And you can tell from the author's standpoint, I'm not even going to bother mentioning his name anymore because he shouldn't be mentioned, at the amount of players that have defended Carson Wentz, at the amount of reporters, actual credible reporters who have been with this team every day ever since Carson Wentz has joined the Philadelphia Eagles, that have covered the Eagles, have defended the likes of Wentz and his teammates as well.
I saw Carson Wentz.
I mean, there's not a whole lot more that we can say.
Yeah,
at all.
I saw Carson Wentz, man, at the Super Bowl last year, in the locker room after the game, sitting down, just crying, and he was so emotional because look, it was the hardest for him more than anybody because this was the guy that set them up at 11-2. He almost won MVP. He would have won MVP if he didn't get hurt. You know, I understand the up and down emotions that he went through, but that never became a problem within the team. This is a guy that could have been upset. This is a guy that could have demanded things this year that Nick Foles wasn't on the team anymore. But he, again, I think his contributions last year when he got hurt to Nick Foles and how Nick Foles played last year was just as important as maybe anyone outside of the big three coaches and Doug Peterson, John DeFilippo, and Frank Reich. I thought Carson Wentz was a huge help on the sidelines, helping out with the game plans, because despite him not being on the field, his football IQ is so high that from the sidelines he can still see things and helped out Nick Foles. I just think the 2019 season is going to be the Carson Wentz redemption tour, and I think it's coming. And this article is just going to add more fuel to the fire. Unfairly so, but regardless, it's going to.
Yeah. I mean, like I could say, Louis, there's not a whole lot more I can say with this piece, but I feel like there is something I would like to mention before we do close this podcast.
Okay.
Now that this story has been largely debunked, maybe now, considering with the press conference that Doug Peterson had saying that Carson Wentz is the starting quarterback for next season, maybe with this, it's finally going to put this thing to rest that Carson Wentz isn't the leader of this football team. And we can finally say with full-blown confidence that he is the man for this team for however long he's going to be the quarterback. And I feel like now with Nick Foles likely leaving, yes, we love Nick Foles. He'll forever be a hero in that town for what he did. But right now, it is now Carson Wentz's team, finally. And we can finally say that this is the man that's going to lead Philadelphia back to another Super Bowl.
And that confidence in him, I got more confident because reading the story, I'll tell you, I was nervous. But seeing Fletcher Cox, Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey, Zach Ertz, Nate Sudfeld, seeing all these guys come to his defense about this article, that made me feel a lot better. And I already had red flags. I already had skepticism of the piece in general. And while, yeah, he might have sources that truly said these things, but I trust the leaders of this team, the faces of the franchise, and the majority of those faces came out in his defense today, and that makes me feel a lot better. Thanks to everyone that joined us on today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. For more podcasts, go to LockedOnEagles.com. Tell Siri, tell Alexa, play Locked On Eagles on your mobile device, on your speaker, and you'll hear my stupid voice, Lars's crazy voice that sounds like it's from the 1940s, Gino Camilleri, and everyone else that contributes to the show. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at LarsLewis12. Thanks for joining us, and as always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.
Go Birds.